Hello and welcome to AU to AZ. Today is November the 15th, 2014, and I'm here today with Rodney Turner from Arizona. Hello Rodney, how are you?
I'm well, how are you Jennifer?
Getting over a bit of jet lag, but I think it's easier this end, the jet lag, than over there in the US. So that's good.
Probably so.
So we have had a really busy last 2 weeks with Miami Device. In Miami?
Yeah, a lot of fun in Miami.
Yeah. What were your takeaway sessions?
Wow, my takeaway sessions were the session with Tanya Averett. She talked about how to use Chromebooks in the classroom.
Ah.
But she actually didn't talk about Chromebooks in the classroom. It was a misnomer. I think it was a hook.
Mm-hmm.
She actually talked about project workflows and how to streamline the entire effect. And it really didn't matter the device that you used, nor the programs that you used. It was about the content and matching the tools with the content to produce the project that or the piece that you actually wanted to publish. So that was really neat to see.
That's great. Sounds great. Yeah, well, I went to one with Greg Kluwiksik. I can't say his last name. Can you say it?
If I try, that will simply tell him that I cannot say his last name.
Okay. Well, I think we need lessons on that. But anyway, he did a great session about Explain Everything. And I thought I knew everything about Explain Everything possible. But one trick I picked up was using the Zoom tool and zooming out so that your canvas is massively big and adding in more and more so that you've got a canvas full of all sorts of drawings, pictures, text, video, and dropping it all on the same page. And you can basically use it a bit like that app in Prezi. And the other really great thing was being able to run video and write on top of the video.
Wow.
That was really good. You know, like they do on sports shows when it's playing and they put arrows coming on and circling things while it's going?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you could do that. So that was very interesting. A couple of tricks to pick up about Explain Everything. I also really liked Daniel Kim's short keynote he did at the start.
That was really great.
Yeah, all about how he was bored at school and went home and had lots of fun on his technology at home, but it wasn't happening at school.
Right. Did you know, here's a little bit of background that I got, His whole keynote, that keynote was done in a video form.
Right.
There was no clicking at all. It was all a video. And one of the things that he said was, it's a great way to do a presentation, but the preparation is absolutely intense because your timing has to be on. You have to know exactly what you're going to say. And once it's in, it's in, unless you want to redo the whole thing. So I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I think that is something I'm going to try.
It will probably work for Daniel because he was not having anyone say anything, so he didn't have to stop. It was just him talking with no one asking questions or anything like that happening during his talk. We right. also probably should tell viewers that Daniel Kim is actually the creator of the Pop Dan Anthologies on YouTube, where he puts together the most popular music into a mashup for each year.
Yep.
So he does that on YouTube, produces those. And came to talk to us teachers about what he thinks should be happening in schools with students.
Yeah.
So
he was really good.
Yeah, and I think it was 5 minutes or 10 at the most.
It was five minutes, 11 seconds.
5 minutes, 11 seconds, and I think he said as much as someone else could have said in an hour.
Yes.
So it was really great, straight to the point. And we went away and we remembered it all. There was no, what do you say? No. So, you know, that was great. And Kevin Honeycutt did a great keynote as well.
Yes, he did. I really did appreciate the fact that he brought in parents, he brought in teachers, he brought in the community. But it was it's all of us together. And that was one of the things that I'm finding more and more to be important, that everyone is on the same page, that we all talk.
Yeah, partnerships in learning.
Yep.
Yep, so that was great. So a couple of great keynotes at the start. It started off really well. And the rest of the conference just went along the same with no nothing that was going to let you down at all.
That's for sure.
Yeah, great people to meet. I met lots of my people that I know on Twitter, which was lovely to meet them all. What other session did you go to, Rodney?
Another session that I went to was called Rebranding Digital Citizenship. Mm. Once again, it was about Tanya Abrith. And it was essentially talking about how to get started when teaching digital citizenship in a school, in a class. And so she talked about how we can begin talking to them. She did talk about Common Sense Media and how it's important to have a base and that there's lessons. But she also expressed the fact that they are just that, they're lessons. It's a foundation. And you can build upon them, and it's best to build upon them to make the learning as well as the experience for the kids much more worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah. That was great. And I went to Holly Clark's session, which was all about portfolios, digital portfolios.
Yeah.
And I really like her message that reflection is the core of the portfolios, or it should be the core of the portfolios, the reflection of students.
Uh-huh.
And she talked about using different applications to create the portfolio from Google Sites, Google Docs to Book Creator, all sorts of different things to create them. But always, essentially, reflection, students reflecting on their learning was the center of the portfolios.
Yeah.
So that was a great message to give out.
I think it's very important to have a portfolio or a line of work, a body of work to show what you've done. I mean, it may be the best things you have or it may not be the best things, but it at least shows the growth and where you were to where you are now.
Yeah, and I also think that it really is evidence of learning, and quite often evidence that can't be provided in state or national testing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no way to show more learning than to have a body of works. Almost like it is a piece of performance that you've done.
And it can be shown, and like you would be taking a CV to a job interview.
Right.
Hmm.
Absolutely right.
So that brings me to the point of the next session that I went to was the Culture of Selfies. That was put on by Jeremy McDonald, and really, really nice guy from Oregon. And he talked about how there is a culture of selfies, but there were different tests and research that was done. And did you know out of 300,000 pictures that were taken within a day, can you think of a percent of what percent of them were selfies? Do you have a guess?
75%.
I'll give you another guess. Lower.
Oh, 21%.
Oh, good guess, but actually it was about 3%.
3% were selfies?
3% of the photos that were analyzed were selfies.
Right.
So even though it seems as though that there's a whole bunch of selfies and people taking pictures,
yeah,
it doesn't seem to be as many as we think there are.
That's so true.
What's really cool though is that if you think about artists and some of their pictures that they paint, they're pictures of themselves, which are selfies.
Yeah, the old self-portraits.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, which is pretty cool because people have been doing it forever.
Yeah.
Now, the question is why they do it and what's the implication?
Mm.
But he talked about Van Gogh. Van Gogh painted 33 portraits of himself over the period of 3 years.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
But about 30 of them were done within the first year. He painted a whole bunch of selfies.
He just couldn't get it right.
Probably, but yeah, probably. But Jeremy also went on to talk about how we can leverage this this phenomena and getting kids to understand how to work with themselves, how to find things that are important, how to put to use just their passion to make sure that they get it right, because it's important to them.
Yeah, because I mean, they go to all lengths to get their selfie correct and get it just how they want it to, and they don't just take one shot, they might take quite a few. So getting that same want to have things really good in their work in the classroom. So for instance, when they're editing their work and they're writing.
Yeah.
So that they don't just say this will do, but actually, you know, you want it to be your best, just like your selfie. So I thought that was an interesting, very interesting to think of it in those terms.
Yes, it was. It was really good.
A great way to connect with kids as well, I think, because, you know, they know exactly what you're talking about when you're talking about selfies.
Yes, they do. Mm. They really do.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be experts at it. But I know I asked a class of kids to all take a selfie of themselves, and it took them quite a long time because they were trying to get it perfect.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and it's like, you don't put that much effort into anything else. But again, it is about making sure that they get it right, because it's something that they want to share, they want to portray to the world.
Yeah, and I went to the panel session, which is all about STEM.
Yeah.
And we had Wes Fryer there, Elaine Plybon, and Susan Bearden. And Dave Guyman was there, and John DeMartin from St. Stephen's in Miami there. So it was a great talk about how they were implementing STEM in their schools and different things they were doing. So it was great to get some ideas to take back to my school. And looking around the Fab Lab where it was at, which is like their maker room at St. Stephen's, it was easy to look around there and get some ideas, like their rockets. They were making rockets and having Rocket Club. So I really like that one. So I'm hoping to probably next year at this stage, because we've only got 5 weeks left of the year. So probably first term next year, I think Rocket Club might become a weekly event. That just about covers day one, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes. I actually went to a little bit of that STEM.
Yeah.
But I spent some time talking to some other attendees, which was really good for me because it helped me to open up a little bit more to see what other people are doing. I got to talk with Brent Catlett, and he is a technology director in Kansas City, Missouri. I had known of him, and I had talked to him kind of online before, but I got to actually meet him, and that was a really good conversation, really great conversation that we had, talking about just the different similarities that we have, but actually a lot of differences based upon our locations.
Yeah, that was great. And that was one of the wonderful things you could do at Miami Device, wasn't it?
Yes, at Miami Device it was. It was really good.
Yeah, I went to Lisa Johnson's session, well, one of her sessions. And it was all about Instant PD with iTunes U. And Lisa shared so many resources with us. It was terrific. And places we can go and learn more about using iTunes U and publishing things up there for people to use.
Mm-hmm.
And showed what they've got at her school. So it was really interesting. So that we might put a link to that, to her resources, on our podcast.
You know what? Can I do one better?
Yes.
I would actually like to send the link out to Tony Vincent's collection of resources. He took every single resource from every single speaker and posted them on one page.
That would be good, wouldn't it? I think that will cover everything, won't it?
Cover everything that we also didn't talk about, or the other sessions that we didn't get to see.
Yeah, if we talked about every session, we'd be here till Christmas, so that's unfortunate. So by putting those links up, though, people will be able to look through and see what was on offer. And have a look at the resources that were there.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You're talking about day two, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a take on a session that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
The session I went to was called Coding as Easy as 1, 2, 3. It was really great.
It was great to see people, and that was the graveyard session, Rodney. You know what that means, don't you?
I do. It was right after launch and right near the end, right before the keynote, and people tend to leave.
Yeah, or just not be in a very receptive mood at that time of the day.
But yeah. You know what? Those B-bots were awesome.
Yeah.
They were absolutely awesome to use and to see. So I would love to get some of those and use them in classrooms here.
Yeah, and I think they're just so hands-on that, you know, you go from the concrete then to the abstract, and that makes it a lot easier to learn, I find.
Yes, a lot easier, a lot easier.
Yeah, it went really fast, that session, because I had a lot to go through. And, you know, I think back and think, oh, I should have done this and I should have done that. But the time just went so fast, and we had the keynote coming up next. So that was the end of that day, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the end of that day.
And there were so many great sessions on. They always seem to put really good sessions on when it's your own session, don't they? But actually, I think they were just really good sessions every session. So, you know, finishing up with Tony's Make It Your Own keynote that he did about the iPads and just technology in general, I think, and kids taking ownership of it was a really great way to finish, wasn't it?
I love the way that he finished. It was a good wrap-up message to say, hey, this is what you do. But he also still gave some tools. He still gave some ways of how to use those tools in his closing keynote. So that was really good.
Yeah. And so a couple of fun things at the conference. There's more than a couple, there were heaps of fun things, but I really love the background setup of the beach that you go in front of and have your photo taken in front of.
Yeah.
That was lots of fun. You can crop it in close and, you know, you're at the beach. We were sort of just a couple of streets away from the beach, weren't we?
Yes, we were. Well, the bay.
We're being so busy, we didn't get there.
Oh, right beside the school?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we didn't get there.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun, and they had a really great band at the end of the conference as well.
So yes, we did.
That got a few people up and about, so great way to end off a conference. So yeah. Well done to Felix Giacomino there and all his team. He had a great team helping all week, getting everything organized.
Yes.
So a lot of collaboration.
It was a lot, and it was really great, though.
Yeah. So, Randy, we actually have got some interviews to let people listen to, and interviews were taken in the Uber. Tell us about the Uber, Rodney.
The Uber.
Uber.
The Uber, we call it the Uber podcast. There were interviews that were done in the taxis as we were going back and forth Friday night, actually, going to and from the Miami Beach. It was a group of people that were in the car, and we said, you know what, we have some interviews to do. We decided to go ahead and ask them some questions. Now, with the wonders of technology, we realized that a lot of things could go wrong, but you know what, we didn't think of them. It was a really great time. So some of the interviews were complete, and other interviews were not complete. Now, with that said, the caveat is that we did one with Daniel Kim, and he was actually on Thursday night when we went on a culinary walking tour of Miami Beach. So with the exception of him, everything else was done in a taxi with a live Uber audience.
Yeah, the Uber taxis. So thanks to all those people who were in the Uber taxi and agreed to be questioned on the spot without any preparation.
Yep. We will put all their names inside of the show notes, but they were really great sports. We had a really awesome time with them.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A great way to do a podcast in a Uber. Could become a repeated activity.
Probably bi-yearly. Biannual.
Biannually, yeah. Yeah, but anyway, it was lots of fun, and I managed to slice a bit of it together, so we'll let our listeners have a listen.
All right.
And from the back seat of the Uber, we have here for in our Uber podcast with me, sitting right next to me, is
Michael Matera.
And Michael, tell me the Michael story. So where are you from?
I am from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right, which is right up near Canada.
Near Canada, near Chicago.
Now you can see Alaska.
In between the East Coast and the West Coast. I don't know how you want me to say it.
Right, so have you come from winter?
It did snow the day I left. So this is a great place to be in Miami.
And now you're headed to the beach.
Now I'm headed to the beach. My wife's not too happy about the discrepancy between what her night looks like and what my night looks like. This is going to need a lot of editing. I don't even know where to begin.
There you go.
The next Uber interview is with
Craig Badura.
And Craig, how are you?
I am great, Jenny. How are you this evening?
Very well. Now tell me about your Miami device experience.
Well, you know, it's been pretty awesome. I've been looking forward to coming here for about a year. Felix had mentioned something to me about it, put in a session proposal, got accepted, and here we are headed to South Beach on a Friday evening after Miami device.
And what was the highlight for you at Miami device?
I think meeting a bunch of my tweeples. That was really what it's all about for me. Is it's about not necessarily, I might get a couple new things, but it's really about the relationships you can build with the teachers and make those connections and maybe even hook some of your teachers up with those people that you meet from literally around the world and as I'm speaking to you.
And have you got any examples where you've used those connections in your classrooms?
Oh, I got to meet Holly Clark, and Holly has actually Skyped a couple times with my first graders. They learn about ocean habitats, and she stood on the Pacific Coast Highway.
And we are back in the Uber AU to AZ podcast.
Okay,
and we have a brand new writer that's with us. So, what's your name, sir?
Matt Werman.
Matt. Thanks, Matt. So, Matt, tell us your story.
Where do I start?
And here we are with our next interviewee. We are actually in a cab after Miami device is done, but you know, we have so many great people that we're trying to interview, so here we are. So first up is...
Hi, I'm Tisha Richmond from Medford, Oregon.
Hi Tisha. Tisha, sorry, I'll get the name right. We are happy to have you here. So what do you do?
I teach culinary arts at a high school in Medford.
Great. So culinary arts teacher from Southern Oregon. Why are you at Miami device?
Well, I was looking for an EdTech conference that I thought would be just a valuable way to learn new ways to integrate technology into my classroom. And I found this conference on Twitter, and there was a contest, and so I applied or submitted a entry to win registration and hotel, and I won. So here I am.
That is really great. So have you found it to be a great conference?
It's been amazing. It's been an awesome speakers, amazing educators. It's been a great time.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. So my question is, of course, what's your greatest takeaway?
There's so much that I've learned. It's hard to just pick one or two things, but definitely just learn new ways to integrate the iPad. Specifically, I want to use gamification in my classroom and kind of change the way that I approach that. And also just learning new ways to app smash. Those two are probably my biggest takeaways from today, at least.
Well, that is really great. Well, we hope that you have a really wonderful time putting those together. You are on Twitter, so therefore, what is your handle?
Tish Rich.
So you can follow at Tish Rich and see the wonderful, great things that she is going to bring to the Twitter world. Thank you, Tish, and you have a very safe trip back.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
And next on the Uber podcast, AU to AZ, we have
Brent Catlett.
Brent Catlett.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
That's me.
Brett Catlett, where are you from?
Born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska. I recently moved to Kansas City, Missouri to take a tech director job for an independent school district.
That is great. So why are you at Miami Device?
Well, I tell you what, it was an ed tech nirvana. The greatest ed tech gurus were converging on Miami in November. So I'm not sure why I wouldn't want to be here. In the Uber podcast, especially.
Thanks. Appreciate that. So what's your most favorite moment during the whole Miami Device learning event?
Besides the Uber podcast, I would have to go with Tony Vincent's playing of Sarah McLachlan and things dying on the website. That was brilliant. And I mean, all I could see was the dogs up there in the background too. And it was just fantastic. And I also would like to add, please, that just meeting amazing people like yourself, Rodney, and several others, it's just been an awesome conference for connecting with amazing people.
It has been really awesome for meeting a lot of different people, and thank you. Just a little bit of background. I've met Catlett on the web. He does a show called Dads in Ed, Edu. Dads in Ed, and it's a really great show. It's a small show, but it's something that dads in Ed really do need to work with. So tell us just a little bit about that show really quick.
Sure. Yeah. My friend Josh Allen and Devin Schoening, the three of us have a little podcast as well that we do via Google Hangout Live, and then we podcast that audio later. But we often invite educators on there. Just for the record, we have had women on the show, even though it's called Dads in Education. So we don't discriminate against women and mothers, but it's just that we're dads. And so we talk about dads, things in education, have a good time. And usually, like I say, we invite a guest that is in education typically, and we just talk about dad stuff, education stuff, and we just enjoy it.
It is a great show. I had the opportunity to watch one live. And so just to tweet in, tell us the time.
Typically on Mondays, every other week at typically 8:30 Central Standard Time. And we use the hashtag Dads in Ed.
Thanks a lot for including that hashtag. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Brent. We greatly appreciate it. Hopefully you have safe travels back to
Missouri.
Yes. You said Nebraska.
Got technically, me. I'm flying to Omaha. Yeah, that's true. Nebraska. But then I'll drive down to Missouri. Yeah, you're right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. It was my pleasure.
Thanks, Brent. Yes.
Here we are on our Uber podcast, episode number 2, on our way back from South Beach, Miami. And here with me I have Catherine Burdick. Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
And how's your day been?
Fantastic.
And you've been to Miami Device?
I have. I've had the pure enjoyment of attending Miami Device.
Now, there are many people who listen to A to AZ each whenever we make it, and they probably want to know, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Catherine Burdick, like you said.
Yes.
And I make apps, and I also consult with app-making companies. And I do presentations. I train teachers and schools and businesses on mobile learning.
Okay, so tell us about one of the apps that you've been creating.
Our most popular app is called Tools for Students, and it has 25 graphic organizers.
We also interviewed Daniel Kim to see what he thought teachers should be doing to help students learn better in their classrooms. Excuse the noise in the background. There was a lot of street noise going on.
For the child emotionally, that it's so important because the child spends so much time with the teacher, most of his day with the teacher, and so many things could happen, like friends, you know, making fun of him or her, or betrayal, hurt, deception, all these kind of things. And the kids there not knowing how to respond to these emotions. And a lot of times what will happen without the aid of someone to say, hey, let's forgive them. Put them on a blank slate. A lot of kids will tend to go towards negativity, thinking negative about themselves, negative about other people, and form these truths or lies in their head that become very solidified if there is no kind of intermediary, which is, I really feel, the important role of teachers. So
building relationships, is that what you're saying? Building really good relationships with their students, between teachers and students?
For sure, relationship has to be established. But like even before that, like the teacher has to, the child has to feel safe with the teacher. That no, you're not gonna get in trouble. I'm here and I care. I care about you. And I don't think a lot of students, they know this, that like the teacher cares about me. But if they do, then it builds. Then they know then they open up more to listen to what the teacher might have to say about like how to deal with these difficult emotions that they're going through.
They trust the teacher, that they can go to the teacher and say what is happening.
Yes, it's more likely to happen, yeah, if they care for the, they understand that the teacher cares about them. But then, yeah, it's a lot about, like, just catching those moments, because sometimes the kids don't even know what they're feeling, don't even know how to communicate it, what they're going through. And it's the sensitivity that teachers need to, like, already know, he's feeling this, he's thinking this, and yeah, because a lot of kids, they'll be feeling it, they don't know how to express it. They think, I've done something wrong, something's wrong with me, and like, they'll only communicate it if, or no, they won't communicate it, yeah. There isn't this habit of communicating, yeah. Yeah, so.
So what would be the other thing? The other thing, what else would you teach teachers?
Maybe like when delivering assessment, a lot of children, they're putting their identity in their marks and that sort of thing. And that a lot of things happen internally in the child where they think very negatively about themselves. So sometimes as a teacher gives the assessment, it may be also important to say, hey, by the way, this doesn't determine your value. You are not any less valuable than this. Like, you have so much value, so much intrinsic value, incredible value, and these marks are no reflection of how good of a person you are, like all that kind of stuff. Like, I think children really need to hear that too. Yeah. Oh, and like the more, sometimes children will display talents in certain areas. And so it's sometimes the most talented ones that are actually hating themselves, because they base their identity in the talents, right? They base their identity in the talents, and when they make a mistake. Oh no, I got another one. I got another really good one.
Yeah.
So perfectionism.
Yeah.
So a lot of children too have this anger that wells up inside of them when they miss the mark. Inside their head, they see, they can imagine something brilliant, something amazing, but it's when they can't do it or they fall below that mark that they feel this anger inside. And what ends up happening is that these children will either say, oh, screw this, I don't want to touch this anymore, it just makes me so angry. Or out of anger, they will try to close this gap, the gap between excellence and where they are at, right? But this closing of the gap should not be motivated out of anger, out of trying to get rid of that anger, or else that leads into perfectionism. Which is unhealthy, but it should be a love for excellence. And teachers, it would be good for teachers to be in that moment saying, hey, let's take a little break from it. It doesn't have to be perfect. Let's practice, like show the importance of practice, but also show the importance of like, do it even if you feel this anger, but like teaching at the same time how to calm down that anger.
Letting it go.
But still like emphasizing the importance of coming back and finishing what you started. And then giving yourself grace, like being kind to yourself. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Daniel. That's great to hear from you. And thanks for this small interview we've done. I hope you can hear us here in Miami.
So, Rodney, what did you think about the interviews?
I really enjoyed the interviews, you know, especially all those pieces that... you know, I'm just going to simply say really enjoyed those interviews, being in a car and talking to people and hearing their passion as they talk and knowing that I'm not alone in what I do in my office or outside with my teachers or with students. So it was really great to be with all those people.
Yes, and you know what, Rodney, because we didn't really get all that in depth because we had a time limit of getting to our next destination, I think it might be a good idea if we revisit and do some new recordings with fuller interviews of each person.
Really?
Yeah, so that might be something for our listeners to look forward to.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so we'll do some connecting and organising. Going to be a bit difficult with my time zone issues. But we'll get there. We'll organise it. And perhaps we'll have a podcast and add them in. So that would be good. Our listeners will be able to hear a bit more from these people and find out a lot more about them. And they've got some really great, interesting information to tell us all.
Absolutely right.
So thanks for today, Rodney. And thanks to all our listeners for listening to AU to AZ. Bye for now.
Bye.
Not even sure.
Don't even cut that out, Jenny.
Don't lower your standards.
Where are you from?
You gotta have some quality control, right?
That's golden. Where do I even start?
Don't lower your standards.